Amen. Thank you so very much. Got to head back home. Some of my folks hasn't had a good nap at church since I've been away. Been hearing about good services back there. They ain't been having no preaching. And so I need to get back there and change that. Get them back down there where they belong. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad to see you. It's been a wonderful meeting. And I never did know all that. I didn't know about it. Didn't know about his leg. Wasn't even sure I knew that he'd wrote that song. But that was really wonderful. The whole service has been, the preaching has been. Man, now I have no intentions tonight of grabbing the old tabernacle and hooking it up to the new tabernacle and dropping us over in the book of Revelation. I have no intentions of doing that. I can't. And the only thing I can do, even about that message today on them snakes, was kill one when I find it. Because I'm usually low enough down there that I draw the devils. They just come toward me. Never seen anything like it. I even dream about them sometimes. But all of this has been wonderful. And it's just been great. I've really got a formidable task. I do. It's okay, too. Because sometimes when I get up in my own church there and look at my folks, and I can just tell how desperately excited they are about the fact that I'm fixing to preach another message to them. I got had one young lady that after a weekend we loaded up and we all went up to Granite City for camp and camp meeting, and I was the night speaker. Brother Randy might have been the day speaker. I try to change that every chance I get. I love the day slot. But anyway, we was up there in that meeting, and after that first night service, this young lady walked up. She was dead serious. She said, "Won't you preach like that at home?" I said, "I did last night. Same message." Okay. It's okay. But it's just been good. Food has been wonderful, and we had a great time of fellowship. And I'm not cutting out on you right quick tonight after the service for any other reason other than laundry and get back to West Plains and take care of Sunday morning and Sunday night so we can go out to Oklahoma and help another good bunch of folks get rested up. Hallelujah. My next church is going to come with recliners instead of pews. Hallelujah. And I'll pack the place out every night. I guarantee it. But love you guys. I'm glad my wife was able to come be with us this year. And it's just been wonderful. All the way around the edges. It's just been wonderful. And I'll just tell you this. I'm going to read this little text. I'll just tell you this. If you smoke, if anybody in the church smokes, if you have a cigarette habit, pipe habit, cigar habit, you know, if you have a marijuana habit, you know, I don't know, even if your car burns excessive oil. If you smoke, you can quit when you desire to bad enough. If you use chewing tobacco, it's okay with me. It's okay with me. Just don't spit in my car, but it's okay with me. I drive down the road sometimes over there at home up and down that little Porter Wagner Boulevard, and they, kids in them trucks, you know, spitting in them empty Coke bottle, you know, I can see now why young ladies are attracted to guys like that that look like they're drooling their whole, I can see why, because the girls are as stupid as the guys are. I can see it. Your boyfriend chewed back. That's okay. You were probably meant for each other. But now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can quit that if you desire it. I mean, if you desire it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to read something to you here in the book of Psalms. You can turn there if you want to, Psalms 38. Almost hate to ruin a good record by reading out of the Bible some, but I really need to. Brother Barnett has been doing wonderful. I tell you what, I told him I probably don't change my mind. They're going to hear about apostasy this weekend at my church. I won't tell them till after it's over that I got it all from him. And then if they like it, they can call him. And if they don't, they can call him. And I may kill a few snakes while I'm there. I have to be careful, though. I have to be careful with my illustrations on the snake thing. I really do. Brother Bill Ellison sits second pew, second row, and he and snakes, I'm trying to describe this to you. He loses self-control around snakes. He's a big guy, but he loses self-control around snakes. I'm talking about if I'm preaching and I jerk my necktie off and holler snake and throw it at him, we have revival. And so I have to be careful on that snake thing. I do, but hallelujah. Every once in a while, it's just kind of fun to watch some folks squirm or something. I don't know. But it's been a wonderful meeting. Appreciate everybody. And Brother Randy, fine guy, tremendous preacher. I know. I'm so tired of hearing these guys come by saying that. I know you do. Because my folks get tired of hearing them when they come by. I know you do. But it's the truth anyway. I thought L.D. Moore would live forever. He didn't. And I wondered what generation of preachers would step into that. I thought when they told me about Brother Claude Ely, I never did get to meet him, but played the piano some at his funeral. I never did really know him. He never did know. And I wonder what in the world. Well, I tell you what in the world we're doing. Some of us guys are the guys of that generation now that are pushing forward. Some of us guys are. And we're not the best replacements for those great men. We are not the best replacements. But for the time being, we're the only ones. We're the only ones. Unless you get a desire to saddle up and come on and help us. We're it. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read this to you. Pray, honey. And Psalms 38, verse number 9. Woo, here it is. It's so exciting. Oh, boy. Lord. Anytime you got a verse that starts like that, you know, it's got to be good. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Now, David really wasn't in a shouting mood when he was writing this. He really wasn't in a shouting mood. In fact, he was, he felt pretty loathsome. He felt pretty diseased or distressed when he was writing these verses. And it's really amazing that right there, you know, he just with the back of his leg cut open, waiting on a diagnosis, he right in the middle of the entire story just leans back and says, Lord, my desire is for right in the middle of it, right in the middle of what he was in. He still wanted God to know what his main desire was in his life. Now, listen. I don't mean to be crude about this thing, and I don't mean to be rude about this thing, but there are some people, I'm telling you, there are some people that allow trials and troubles and circumstances to come their way, and they grab a hold of that thing like an excuse, and they use it to miss church. They use it to ask for sympathy. They use it to try to garner some kind of support around them. And the only time that they really, really, really have anything good to say about any of it, even sometimes at the end of the trial when they come out a winner, it almost sounds like they were disappointed that it was all over with now. They never recognized that in the middle of what we are in, our desire for God can have a whole lot to do with the outcome of our marriages, of our young people, of our choirs, of our Sunday school classes, of our youth camps, of our camp meetings, and of this service tonight. how bad you desire for God to do something for you tonight in this house is the whole bottom line of what I'm fixing to talk to you about. Well, I tell you what, I'm just here tonight because it's Brother Randy's fellowship meeting and they eat after church. Boy, then you're not going to be disappointed and you can step to the eating corner if you desire. Well, I tell you the reason I come, because I knew there's going to be fellowship and there's this little girl that I really got my eyes on. I don't know if she's got her eyes on me, but I got my eyes on it. And if that's fact, that's okay. That's okay. I'm not standing up here acting like I'm mad that you're in this service for any other reason than to let God have his way. But just in case you're not, there's a section in the service for that kind of attitude. But if you're in this room tonight, and the reason you step through that door, if they eat or shut down the kitchen, if she's here or she never even winks at you for the rest of your life, if the reason you're here is for God to bring you out of something that you are in right in the middle right now, you are at the right place. You're not going to find that in the middle of a bass boat out in the middle of a tournament. You're not going to find that up at the city pool. You're not going to find that over at the Coliseum watching a truck pull or watching a bunch of bull riders on a bunch of bulls try to see who's got the least amount of brains. You're not going to find it there. You're going to find it when a group of people come together in the spirit of worship in the house of God, knowing that God is bigger than any problem that come in the house. There you can find the very answer to the problem that you're facing right now. But you've got to have that desire. Now, I don't know. Some guys come to church because their wife desires them to come. Some men, I don't know. Some young folks, as soon as they turn 16 or 17 and 18, as soon as they get their diploma that says they now know it all and they don't have to have any other parental direction, those young folks may have already said, I'm not going to keep going to that church. You're dragging me now. And I'll go now, and I'll be part of it now. But when I get old enough, I'm not going to do it. And you know that's exactly right. And the world is full of young folks just like that. And I can't help it. I can't take the dope out of their vein. I can't unwrap them from the telephone pole that they wrap themselves around in the middle of the night. I can't even take the gun out of their hand where some of them blew their brains out at 19 years old. I can't do that. But I can do this. I can tell you that in this room, you can have a desire for the things of God and leave this house tonight in a greater state of mind than you've been in a long, long time. Now, I'm not going to be up here all night, but I'm going to tell you something. When they walked up to Evan Roberts, they looked at him and they said, I'd like to know the secret of the great Welsh. I want to know the secret of this great move of God that you're in. Evan Roberts said, it ain't no secret. I just desire to believe the promises of God. And I know that may sound a little bit shallow for some folks that pride themselves of being having a doctorate of Garfield. But I'm telling you something right here, right now. We come into this house. We hear a man testify about the healing power of God. We look at individuals in here tonight that were alcoholics that ain't no more, drug addicts that are not anymore, those that were loose in this world and they're not anymore. I'm telling you, I desire to live like that. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I desire to live like that. All those years, them youth camp years, those many, 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 many youth camp years. My wife tried to count them one time, seven or eight years ago, when she was throwing me a 30th year preaching bash there at our church. She tried to count all those youth camps. Actually, we lost count at a very, very ungodly high number. But I'm telling you, the whole purpose of our lives during that time was to change the desire of some little boy or some little girl. And some of you folks in here tonight may have been that little boy or may have sat in that youth camp and been that little girl. It changed the desire And the next thing you know, another young lady didn't come up pregnant out of wedlock. And another young man didn't find his name on some police blotter. Or another man saw the sins of his ways and recognized, if my boy's going to live right, I've got to live right. I'm telling you, desire is the biggest emotion that we've got. And you got to get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of it. To think, sometimes when my wife gets the evening paper, I'll hear her open a little drawer there beside her chair, Brother Barnett, and I know what she's doing. She's fixing to mark the yard sales. I'm telling you, I quit taking the paper for two reasons. Number one, they went up too high, and the paper ain't got enough in it for that. And number two, yard sales. I'm kidding you. We quit taking the paper, though. I don't know what she's going to do. But she'll mark them things. She'll mark either, she'll put a T on it or an F on it. I asked her about her code one night, and she said, T is Thursday. F is Friday. I mean, she goes down through that. Now, this is in that one neighborhood. I never seen anything like it. If the Pentagon knew, if they had any idea how she could plot a course with just a bunch of yard sales, we would have owned Iraq by now. Afghanistan would have been one of the 51st states of the United States of America if they had just known. But she, and you know, sometimes she gets up, and sometimes she goes, and sometimes she doesn't get up, and sometimes she doesn't go. But I'm telling you, it's very seldom that I ever have a desire to throw my eyes open, uncover my body, put my clothes on, and drive down the road to somebody's yard sale before the sun comes up in the morning. I just don't like it that much. I just don't like it that much. Okay, that's okay. You may have a perpetual yard sale. That's okay. That's okay. Got any guns? That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. But on the flip side of that coin, I don't even go to bed during deer season. I sit in a recliner in the living room so I don't disturb anybody. And so if I want to start getting ready at 2, I can get ready at 2 in the morning. Don't sit there and look so pious at me. Some of you hypocritical deer hunters, you sitting out there acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. Phooey. That's a Greek word for baloney. Listen, I'm telling you, I wake up in the morning. I mean, I'm already up in the morning. And I just, because I desire to go get in a truck, drive out in the country, go through the gate, dodge the cow piles, find my tree, get up in it, and sit. What are you looking so bored for? Some of you yard sale ladies, you ought to try that sometime. I'm telling you, I desire that. And so I do it. And most of the things we desire, we do. When a person desires to stay home, they stay home. When a person desires to miss revival, they miss revival. When a person desires to blame it on a headache, then they formulate a headache. When a person desires to miss church over a ball game, then they start a ball. I'm telling you, desire plays a big part in our life. But you can turn that thing around and make it work for you instead of against you. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I desire to clean out your pulpit. Here's the first layer right there. Listen, I'm telling you, I ain't going to be up here all night. And this is not going to be some kind of exercise in spiritual calisthenics. I'm just going to tell you something. When you really want the Holy Ghost, when you really want the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to be none of this mama business. When you really want the Holy Ghost, you'll go to praying for the Holy Ghost when you're at home by yourself, pushing back the plate, stepping away from the toaster, forgetting the T-bone steak. That's desire. You hear me? And I'm telling you, we are losing that human emotion in some of our churches across the countryside. We don't come into his courts with praise and thanksgiving because something's wrong with the desire in our life. But when you do, now listen, I want to tell you something. You want to live a deeper life? You have to desire to live a deeper life. Well, I thought if I just went to a church that had a harder preacher, who preached more holiness, who found things to preach against that ain't even in the Bible, I would have a deeper life. No, that's not a deeper life. That's a steeper life. Trying to climb out of some kind of pit that somebody puts you in when there ain't enough Bible to hardly water a shotgun with. That's not the answer to a deeper life. A deeper life is to come through that door on a Thursday night saying, I want more of God than I've ever had in my life. You can have that. Well, I tell you what I need in my life. I need more power. Or I need more victory. And I need more. I just need more. There's so many adjustments I need to make. I got so many disputes in my life. My kids are fussing and my in-laws are fussing and we're fussing and they're fussing. I'm going to tell you, the fusser ender is to come through that door with a desire for God to change you. And if nobody else changes, you can still walk out of here in a different frame of mind. But it's not going to fall on you like an apple. It ain't going to drop down out of heaven like a pineapple. You're going to have to want God. Now, I have really preached when I felt a whole lot better. But I have never preached when I felt any more possessed by the revelation that the thing in most of us that causes us not to want to sing is we don't desire to sing. We don't feel like getting up. We don't feel like it. When Brother Randy Webb walks up behind this pulpit with his handsome face and he... Scratch that. Can you back that CD up? There, I tell you, when Brother Randy Webb walks up here behind his pulpit with that face and looks at us and says, woo, can you praise God? Are you here? Are you there? Are you breathing? Do you have any insight? Do you have any hope? When he gets up here behind that pulpit, I tell you what, it's the people with desire who throw their hands up and who have a different expression on their face. And without that desire, you could sit in a good church and leave just as dry as you came. You could sit in a good revival and leave just as dead as you came. Well, I'm telling you one thing right now. I'm a member of Brother Randy White's church, and he preaches all over this country. I'm telling you, on the way home last night, I remarked to my sweetheart. I said, you know what I thought of tonight? A couple of times in the service. And I went to naming some of my folks at my church that if there was a river of living water coming across the front and all you had to do was put your athlete's foot in it and you could be healed of every itch in your life, they'd still sit there and think it was for everybody else but them. Don't everybody jump up and shout at once. You're going to ruin this message. They'd think it's for everybody else but them. But I'm telling you, God says, whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely if you are thirsty. You gotta have a desire. You gotta have a desire. You got to have it. Oh, God. You got to have that. I know when Elijah needed fire, it was not. Now I lay me down to sleep when he was facing the prophets of Baal. He had a desire for fire. And it came out of his prayer. And it fell on his altar. And we still talk about it today. It wasn't some little raging feeling down on the inside. When the Lord looks at us in the New Testament and says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Are you going to say it? I'm going to say it. Are you really? I really am. I'm telling you, you can almost mark on your hand the times in years past up to this great date that our gatherings, like this fellowship meeting, our Richlands, our Bristow, or whoever leans back because there's a message in tongues and an interpretation in that service. And I covet that. You hear me? I covet that. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I never know who it is. And by the time I turn around and look to see if I think it's okay, you're as carnal. You're as carnal as a goose. I tell you what you ought to desire. For God to preach to us, sing to us, talk to us, infiltrate us, do whatever he's got to do to bless his people. I desire that. I desire it. I desire somebody else in the holiness movement to be able to call and say, Brother Moore, has the Lord showed you anything about me or my life? I miss that. Do you? I miss it. I miss having song services where people walk up on a platform, grab a microphone, pick up the old guitar, the acoustic saxophone, get up on the platform and go to singing songs about praise and about worship and about the blood. You know what I miss about that? I miss the part where we used to inject ourselves into that song instead of just sit back and let it be an entertainment. I miss that! I'm not going to jump up and go to hollering for Brother Meacham and Brother Barnett because I know it's going to feather my bed and put a nicer cap on my forehead the next time we're any place where they can back me up. No, no, not at all. I desire to feel the very nerves that Brother Meacham was preaching about today that got him over the hump and carried him up. I desire that. I desire to hear a man on apostasy tell us about all the sins of it. Even back home with enough sickness in his family to knock the reading the Bible out of 90% of the people. I want to get in that. You hear me? I want to become part of that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, brother, that's not why I'm here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, this is not a browbeat. I'm not up here to shine an unfortunate spotlight on anybody. I'm just up here to tell you, you're going to live with what you desire to live with. And you're going to have what you desire to have. And you're going to be what you desire to be. And I am not going to allow the world to pay millions of dollars to some Neanderthal running up and down a ball field with a pigskin under his arm. I am not going to do it. And then come into the house of the living God, where some folks don't even pay their tithes and act like I'm just there for the show. I have a desire have as much a desire to make a touchdown tonight as that guy does. I want God to touch us. Now, brother, you are yodeling up a cannon if you think tonight God is going to be allowed to light my torch. You're yodeling up the wrong canyon. Well, I have been yodeling for 37 or 38 years. And I must admit, every canyon that I've been in has not broke out into revival. But there's been some of them that did. You hear me? There's been some of them that did. In our fair town of West Plains, we have that same newspaper that I was talking to you about a while ago. Down there at that newspaper, there is a reporter that has developed a relationship with me on a gun scale completely. He doesn't call me for the latest story. He calls me for the latest gun. I mean, we have that kind of relationship. One night, old Marshall Dillon come to church, sat in the back of the house, been raised something other than what we were, and I could tell by the look on his face that it was a little bit strange for him. But having this many men in one church with that many guns, he wasn't about to stand up back there and make any kind of problems. So he just sat there. Yes, he did. It was during that service. Oh, God. It was during that service, in that service that night, that Dennis Heath, Tiny, was up preaching. He was walking back across on that platform. His feet were 3 inches ahead of the rest of him. I'm telling you, just a big old boy. He turned around there with one of them intelligent looks. Some of you act like you've never seen one on him. I've only seen it twice. But that night, he turned around one of them intelligent looks, and he said, "Is there anybody in this house that believes what I'm saying?" And that reporter's boy, sitting over here on the side by his little Pentecostal wife, grabbed his Bible, stood up with his folks in the back of the house, held that Bible straight up like a lighthouse on a hillside. And I'm telling you, brother, sister, it was just the other night, and Blake broke the service open again. If you've got a desire, you can do what you want to do. Now, I'm not going to be up here all night. I just sound like I am. But if an artist never got any inspiration, he'd paint the same cat chasing the same mouse. And if a singer never got any inspiration, they'd keep singing the same deep and wide, deep and wide. Oh, God. Singing until their well stopped up. They've got to have inspiration. You hear me? You got to have it. When Brother Randy starts his service, it says, "Come on. Come on, come on, let's come on, let's sing, let's come on, let's stand." He ain't directing traffic. He ain't trying to apply for a new job. He's trying to show you a little inspiration. We'll get you up off your seat and put you in heavenly places. If a singer or an artist or a preacher, listen to me. Are you going to say this? I am going to say it. Are you going to say it right? No. Because I don't know if there is a right way to say it. But just because you can read an outline and follow it and dazzle with your mind and your memory and your abilities doesn't mean that you're even up there with the right desire in your heart. Okay. 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 I've about got my friends off of the bandwagon of calling me asking me when I go preach places if they helped you out while you were there. I've got them quit calling me about that. What they want to know was, what was your offering? And what I want them to know was, how we left at the altitude. I ain't interested in the offering. I'm interested in what the altitude was. You hear me? I'm telling you, there's a difference in desire. You can desire to get up behind the pulpit and be a mechanical machine, or you can desire to be used to God and touch people's hearts. Pray, honey. I want you to pray. I just want you to pray. I really do. There was something in Philip, Andrew. There was something in Andrew that when he saw all them people and all of them were hungry, needing to eat, there was some kind of desire that burned up in Andrew. And he went looking for somebody that could help with the problem. And I'm going to have to tell you, I'm not sure that a little boy and a few fishes and a few loaves of bread would be your solution to the mess that you're in right now. But I am going to let you know the same God that set a table out there on that hillside set the same table for David in the presence of his enemies. And he'll set that table in this church tonight if you're ready to eat. You fellas pray and be thinking about a spiritual song. Like the old account said a little ago, kidding you. Listen, I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters. There's just something over. All right. New Testament. Matthew. Mark. John. All right. New Testament. Let me read something to you. This is how the Bible reads. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You ever read that? I mean, yeah, you know that's in the Bible? Well, let me tell you that a guy by the name of John and a guy by the name of Mark, some of these guys, I mean, one of them took that same verse and exchanged ask. And put the very word desire right there in the book, right there in the page. What's that mean? That means that some people come to church and they feel like asking. But there's some people that come to church and they have a desire that they're not going to walk out of that building until the power of God is upon them. Now, I'm not much on running down them words. But I'm much on running down this word, because when Mark said it, it was the connotation of begging. God, I beg you, save my home. God, I beg you, save my sanity. It's amazing that Brother Meekum thought about calling me and my wife when he was going through that nerve spell that he was having that he preached about today. And I told one preacher that 80% of the calls I get are not about my outlines, texts, or itinerary. It's from preachers calling saying, I'm having nerve troubles. What do you do to get through it? You know why they call me? You know why they call me? They don't call me because they're looking for the nut house that my wife had to put me in and the straight jacket that I have to put on every morning before I've had my coffee. They call me because they know that when I was in it, I had a desire to come out of it. And when I came out of it, I came out of it with a greater victory than I've ever had in my life. And I'm telling you, you can too. Hannah. 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 What's the matter with you? Eli, what's the matter with you? The woman's gone plumb crazy. She's crazy with hurt. She's gone plumb crazy. Her mouth's moving. But she ain't saying nothing. And she's staggering around in the presence of God like she's drunk. He had the right letter on the word. The word was not drunk. The word was, she wanted a baby. She desired a baby. And she desired it in such a way that she got in such a state that they thought that she was drunk or having a spasm or doing some of the very things that many of us have done when the Holy Ghost fell on us. We couldn't say nothing. We didn't have a word for it. We just knew that we was in the presence of God and He was granting our desire. How long has it been since you've been lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost? Now really, brother, was this what you was going to preach the first night? That and four or five other nights of things just like it. Because I mean this. If we have this meeting again next year and you fell out, give out, give up, and you don't come anymore, it's because your desire tonight was not what it should have been in God. Honey, I want you to think about a song while I get very close here and tell these people that there are individuals that the only reason they go to high school basketball games or high school grade school football games is because there is a desiring, lusting spirit in some of those ungodly men to feast their eyes upon our children, young folks that we allow to come out from among us and go into that cesspool of filth. And they sit there with their desires in such overactive mode that the internet becomes a monster in their life. And the only thing that can stop them is a knock at the front door and somebody walking in that house arresting them for being part of child pornography. It's a desire. You hear me? It's a desire. A while back, riding in one of the patrol cars, when we went up the stairs into the Yellow House apartment, a man was sitting there in a chair, out of his mind, out of his mind. Laying around his feet were 7 or 8 bottles, plastic, rubbing alcohol that he had been drinking because he desired alcohol and couldn't afford the real stuff. Are you listening to me? We put them in straight jackets. We send them to juvenile detention. We look at them in the divorce courts. Or we can come into the house of God and allow their desire to be touched of heaven. If you have gone to seed on organized sports, you've got a desire problem that doesn't just need to be quenched. It needs to be cast out. If you are so controlled by tobacco that you can't live without a smell or a taste or a touch, you don't have something that needs to be quenched. There's a desire in there that needs to be replaced. Even devils have desire Even devils can look at Jesus when he walks into a cemetery and looks at a man that's filled with all manner of filth and demons in him. Even the demons have a desire. Please, don't judge us right now. Please, just send us into the herd of swine. Just said, even the demons know when somebody bigger shows up. Even they know a few minutes before that happening, they were in complete control of that man. He was naked. He was a wild man. He couldn't be contained. And after Jesus, even the devils are putting in a prayer request. There's some things in our lives that you're not going to get over until we get them out. I'm feeling just terribly bold. It may be because I'm terribly hot. And it may be because my eyes are terribly full of sweat. And it looks like everybody in the house is on their feet shouting, glory be to God. I know that can't be right. I know it's got to be my eyes. It's got to be my eyes. Because I know that folks hearing about the power of God ain't going to bring them all out. And I know folks that find out that their kids don't have to get caught up into the affairs of this world. I know it ain't going to make everybody jump up. And just thinking that somebody's marriage has been saved for 40 years because they've stood on the rock. I know it ain't going to make everybody stand up. But my eyes are deceiving me right now because I figure everybody in this room that's ever been healed of cancer ought already been hollering hallelujah. Or I figure that everybody in this house that's already been delivered of tobacco ought to jump up and say, my God, it's right. I'm telling you, you got to have a desire. You gotta have a desire. You gotta have a desire. You've got to have a desire. You gotta have a desire. You gotta have a desire. Let me tell you this. I promise. You've been put through torture tonight. You should be, the rest of you on your feet ought to be hollering, hallelujah, that Brother Charles Barnett is going to wind this thing down tomorrow night. It may be on apostasy, but it'll have to beat this. But I'm telling you something. Right here in this room right now, the last demon of perversion may have worked on you for the last time. If you desire God to send that thing out into another herd of swine. Right here in this house, that little hiding a bucket of tobacco that makes a little round donut shape in your back pocket that distinguishes you with all the rest of the people that's running around with half a brain. You can lean back in this service right now and say, I desire to get up and walk out into the parking lot, open up my truck, reach in there and get that can. Come back into this church house. Walk down the aisle and lay it on this altar and give it to a God that can cast that thing out of me. That's desire. Some of you young folks should get up right now. Go to your vehicles. Get out those tapes, CDs that you have no business feeding yourself with all week long and come to the house of God and Brother Randy wonder what's the matter with you. Oh, don't look at me like that. Some of the men in this church ought to get up right now and go out in their vehicle and change their radio dial. You've heard Loretta's last coal mine. You hear me? You heard the last one. I'm telling you what, you've heard the devil went down to Georgia for the last time. We're going to leave him down there, and we're going to get him out of the service right here because somebody's got a desire to leave the house of God different than they came. You're going to keep listening to it? You're dismissed. You don't have a desire. You're going to keep smoking it, chewing it? You're dismissed. You're going to dismiss yourself anyway. I just will get the front door on it. You're not got the desire that God give a goose to come out of it. But right here, right now, without a song on this platform, the angelic music that we're hearing is made in a land that is fairer by day. And that angelic music that's winging its way this direction has already told the evil spirits that have surrounded this little church and tightened her down again with a desire to keep the choir on the platform and you on your pew. We're fixing to change the temperature and the tempo of the service right now. And we're going to put in our request. The Holy Ghost has stepped into the house, and over his arm is a little towel, and over his hand is a little piece of paper. And on that little paper is a menu. And the Holy Ghost walks up and says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What would you like to order tonight? And somebody lean back in this church and say, I'd like to order the nerves out of my life and the problem out of my house and the attack of the devil out of it. Woo! That's desire. Sometimes the only thing I went to the pulpit with was an umbrella. And we didn't get any farther than opening up an umbrella in the house of God because I desired for God to reign. Sometimes the only thing I took to the pulpit was a little verse about hand clapping. I wouldn't even take the text. Just stood up there till somebody in the house read the verse that said, oh, clap your hands. All ye people. And it caught on across the building until God came down and met every desire in the house. I've not come to you tonight with a puppet, a trick. I ain't even got my saxophone out of the car all week long. I tell you what I have come up here with. I have come up here with the same Bible that says, ask, ask, and you receive it. The same Bible the next one over said, desire it. You can receive it. The same Bible that says, beg. Crawl down the aisle if you have to on your hands and knees, but find deliverance when you get there. Get your wife by the hand and bring her down with you. But I've got to have help. That's desire. And that's my altar call. This is my message. And I don't have the slightest idea what I'm going to talk about next week at Bristow because I am not living at Bristow right now. I'm in Brother Randy Webb's church, Keene Mountain, with a great fellowship and enough Holy Ghost-filled folks in this room right now that we've got candidates all over the house to ask God to allow them to be the next giver of messages in tongues or the next touch of faith, the next reaching. Are you getting this? I desire for us to quit putting all the pressure on the platform and realize that the desire is sitting out there on the pews of whether the church goes over the top or whether it doesn't. Now, Father, I have really given my best shot, and I have been working against extreme odds this week. Night after night, so much of the visitation and the power of God that anything that I would offer or add to this service would be just as weak as what I offered and added to this service. The only difference was on every one of those services, I received something for myself. Something for myself. That I desired. I heard it in the message of apostasy. I heard it when Brother Paul Markey was hooking those yoke of oxen up to that tabernacle, to that great, great, great veil, and trying to pull it apart with man-made means. I felt it. I felt that desire. I felt it. I felt it to the place that while he was preaching, some young man right here in this room jumped up and went running around the aisles, and nobody even told him to have your way. He just had a desire to get out of that pew. And right here's where I am right now, God. Somebody could have had their last rendezvous with hell if they desire to get free of it tonight in this service. The last thought of adultery, the last desire of fornication, the very last desire of some of our young men being attracted to the worldly girls of this world, or some of our holiness young ladies that have eyes for young men who haven't learned yet what it means to be clean cut, living straight lives, full of the power of God. I'm telling you, there are spirits in this house that are going to beckon for places to go when the Lord himself shows up. And I'm asking you, Lord, you take care of that end of the deal. I don't care what you do. I don't care where you send it. I don't care what happens to it when this service is over. But I care about seeing the change of expression on somebody's face who walked down to this altar, lifted their hands, and told God, I desire for you to do something in my life that's permanent. What are you waiting on? I'm waiting on footsteps. What are you waiting on? I'm waiting on some girl standing back here. What are you waiting on? I'm waiting on some man in this church that just leaned back and said, I'm going to get delivered to this thing tonight. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on some husband back there that'll turn around and take his wife by the hand and say, go get the rest of the kids. We're going to have a prayer meeting around the front of this church if hell has a heart attack. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on desire. I'm waiting on that thing to rise up on the inside of you where you are not happy to sit there in that pew another 30 seconds. You're not happy to sit there. I'm telling you, you may have come in on a walker. You may have come in the house of God on oxygen. And every step, everything you take is an effort. But I'm telling you, if you'll just make a small, just a small, in kind effort to let God know that you desire to have something more than what you've got right now, He'll never send you away hungry. He'll never send you away without meeting the desires of your heart. Oh God, she staggered because she didn't know what to say. She acted like a drunk lady because she didn't know what to do. But there was such a desire inside of her. She didn't care how it looked. She didn't care what they thought. Oh, yeah. It's much too quiet for somebody in here that just got delivered. It's much, much, much too quiet around these altars for folks that just recognized that for the first time in a long time, the desire of God is greater than the desire of anything else in their life. And they don't want to walk out of this room tonight like they came. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I desire a Sunday morning at Calvary. I desire a Sunday morning this coming Sunday. And all I got to do is walk up behind the pulpit and they see it in my face. I come on business. I desire it for next Sunday night. I desire it for in the morning. I desire it when Brother Barnett steps up behind his pulpit even tomorrow night, looks across his congregation. The church recognizes there's a desire on that man's face. He's not here for his health, and he's not here for his retirement. Oh, God, see that on Brother Webb's face. See that on those King Mountain boys' faces when they're singing the songs of Zion.